Amen. Let's give the choir another hand. Amen. I just want to say how they have been working, working, working. And Brother Lee has been blessing us, and we thank God for how the Lord is moving in this place. We're grateful today to welcome you. I want to say to those that have young children, our nursery is open. The Yearwoods are downstairs, and if you have any young children, toddlers, they would certainly be welcome to receive them. Welcome those online that you are here with us today. Our service time starts at 10 a.m. If you come at 11 a.m. for the service, you're going to be a little bit late. But we welcome you on Facebook. We welcome you also on YouTube. We're grateful for the opportunity of worshiping and praising God today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Brother Sean is with our youth and our youth church, so if those of you that have young people and you're here today, you want them to attend the youth church, our youth church is open for today. I'm going to share a message with you, and then following the message, we'll have some announcements of things coming up in our church, and also we'll be receiving our offering. But I want to invite your attention to a passage of Scripture, and I was originally studying in my notes from Matthew 15, but it's Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and beginning with verse number 25. Matthew 14, beginning with verse number 25. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, or you can go to your iPad, electronic device, or however you get the word, you can get the word. Amen? Amen. Matthew 14. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter, answering him, said, "Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water." Verse 29, and he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Second time fear has come up in this passage. He was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they came into the ship, the wind ceased. I want to share with you a message today, keeping your head above water. Keeping your head above water. You may be seated. Father, we are certainly thankful for this day that we have, and we're thankful that you've blessed us to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you that we can sing songs of praise and worship to honor your name. And Lord, in this faith that we're having, whether we're in the choir or in the pew, it's not a spectator that we're talking about. Lord, we are here to worship you in spirit and in truth, because those are the ones that you seek that would worship you. Pray you'd bless the service. Bless, Lord, the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart, that we may be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I pray this in Jesus' strong and mighty name. And all the church of God said, amen. Keeping your head above water. When I was in seminary, I heard a joke that they would tell. You know, preacher jokes, they tell these corny jokes. And so this is what I heard when I was attending seminary. Pentecostal, the Catholic, and the Baptist preachers, they went out into the water and they began to fish. And then all of a sudden the Pentecostal said, "I left something on shore." Left something on shore. They said, "Well, you want us to turn the boat around?" He said, no, that's all right, I'll get it." So he stepped out of the boat, walked on the water, went to the shore. Got his tackle box, brought it back, sat down in the boat. Catholic looked at the Baptist and said, "Oh my." Well, a few minutes later, the Catholic said, "I left something back on shore. I think I left my Bible." So he got out of the boat, stepped on the water, and walked to the shore. Got his Bible, came back, sat down in the boat. About this time, the Baptist preacher, he's a little bit antsy. He said, "Man, I'm not going to let them outdo me." So he made up an excuse and said, I left something. I walked out of the boat. Down he went. Catholic and the Pentecostal dragged him back in the boat. Before they could hold on to him, he jumped out the other side, trying to walk on the water. Down he went. They pulled him back the third time. He said, wait a minute, brother. Before you step out the third time, we need to let you know there are some rocks that we've been walking on. I just want you to know where they are. You know, while that sounds humorous, when real life hits, it's hard to keep your head above water. It's difficult. You struggle because you're drowning. It doesn't take a sea. It doesn't take the ocean to sweep you under the waves. Sometimes sickness can come in. You ever had that? Sometimes it could be problems in your home. Sometimes it could be financial difficulties that all of a sudden you're trying to do the best you can. And now you're just struggling to keep your head above water. I want to ask a little question here. How would you describe your life? How would you describe your life right now where you are? And I know we're living in a COVID environment, but it doesn't look like it's going away. How would you describe your life right now? Are you drifting? Are you sinking? Or are you swimming? Show of hands. How many of you all would say, "I'm just drifting, Pastor. I'm just drifting"? How many of you all say, "I'm just drifting"? Anybody? Anybody? Uh-oh. You only got two other choices. How many of you would say, "I'm sinking"? Anybody? A couple of weeks ago, I was sinking. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. When COVID gets you, you get crazy. You ever notice when you catch COVID, you get these crazy dreams, crazy thoughts, and going through your head, you wonder, what in the world is going on? You're saying to yourself, "My goodness." But it's very easy for you to sink in life. So how many of y'all say, "Well, you're swimming. You're learning to swim." Look at somebody and say, "You haven't hit the right wave yet." Peter, not only was he a fisherman, he was a swimmer. When Jesus first met them, Peter jumped out of the boat, swam over to see who Jesus was. Later on, when Jesus appeared to them and John said, "It is Jesus," Peter again jumped in the water, swam over to Jesus, and greeted him. But here he is in a sinking moment. If you haven't hit that right wave yet, it's going to come. But I thank God. Let me go and get to the main thing in my message. I thank God that when Peter, before he sunk, Jesus was right there. Now I could go on and just say amen right there, but I got a few points I want to make in this message, because a lot of us in life, we give up, we throw up our hands. "I'm not going to even try anymore. I'm over my head. I'm done." Marriages, people are saying, "I'm done." Finances, "Let me just go and file bankruptcy now." problems in your home, you want to get in your car, fill it up with gas, and just keep driving. Anybody there? Anybody know what I'm talking about? We all face these trials and these struggles in life to where at some point you admit, I'm over my head. I'm sinking. I don't know where to turn. By the way, in this text, Jesus had commanded them to go over to the other side. He commanded them to continue on with their mission. They're not just out there on a recreational trip. They're out there because that's where Jesus told them to go. In this life, we're trying to do our best to obey God and to serve God. And all of a sudden, here comes this tsunami. Here comes this monstrous wave that sweeps us over our head. And whether you can swim or not, you're going under if the right wave hits you. There are a couple of things that we have to be aware of when we talk about keeping our head above water. We've got to know the types of waves and the types of threats that we'll face in life. I wrote down four of them. You may want to put these in your notes. Number one, you're going to have natural things that happen. It just happens to everybody. Natural things. Natural problems that will come up from time to time. Things that just won't go right. You're ready for work and all of a sudden the tire's flat on your car. You can't look up to heaven and say, God, why me? Goodness sake, get the jack out. Jack the thing up. Unloose the lug boats and change the tire and be on about your business. Natural things happen in life. God allows these things in order to test you, in order to prove you, in order to build you up so that you'll build up character. You'll be able to say, Lord, I'm doing pretty good. Facing some things, but I'm doing pretty good. The natural disasters, natural threats. We're in a nation now where everything that happens, it's on the news. If it's not on the evening news, it's on Facebook. It's on the news. Hello, somebody. You sneeze at your house, the neighbor hears it next door, and the next thing you know, it's posted on. Anybody in the building? But these things happen not to destroy us. You might want to get back and say, wait a minute, God, what are you trying to show me through these things that I'm facing? And here's what God is telling you. Even if it is something natural, you can't make it without me. You're going to need me to help you in your life. You might think, I got it. Like the Baptist preacher. Stepped out, I got it. And down you go. You need him for all these things. But another thing that happens is what we call people threats. The natural things, lightning strike you, the chances are it ain't going to strike you again. But when people strike you, one ain't done. Are y'all in the building? You're in a world of imperfection. People are imperfect. They make mistakes. Sometimes they even do wrong because they're just that way. So what are you going to do? I ain't going to have nothing to do with you. Frank Sinatra had an approach to life. He said, whenever someone crossed me, I'll just pretend they're dead. Is that what you're going to do? You're going to be like Frank, I did it my way. Hold on, brother. Hold on, sister. We will face these things in life. We will face the people threats. And yet we've got to maintain our faith in God because you're not doing it to prove who you are. You're not doing it because you just want to be a nice person. You're doing it for the glory of God. Two things will happen in this life. God will be glorified. He will be glorified. The second thing that will happen, every knee shall bow. every tongue shall confess that He is Lord to the glory of God. So if you purpose that in your heart, if you say to yourself, you know, no matter what happens, God is in control of life, I'm going to keep my head above water. Either God's going to give you swimming lessons or He's going to give you something to hold on to. Anybody in the building? So Peter came up with this thing. He said, now, Lord, you know, everybody else in the boat shaking. Everybody else in the boat, they're freaking out. Everybody else in the boat saying, man, it's a ghost, it's a spirit. He said, Lord, if it is You, bid me, invite me to come walking on the water. And watch this. Peter wanted to do what Jesus was doing. Somewhere in your life, you ought to be saying to yourself, Lord, I know I'm facing waves. I know that these things are crashing in on me, but I want to walk on what other people are sinking in. I want to be able, Lord, to hold my head up even when I feel discouraged. I don't want to act discouraged. Even when I know there's stuff going on in my body, I don't want that to have lordship over me. I only have one Lord, and that's You. Whether it be sickness, whether it be pain, whether it be anything else, Lord, I want to walk on what other people are having problems controlling. My finances, I want to be able to walk on top of it. I might not have but a few dollars, but show me how to spend them. My health, Lord, I may have high blood pressure, but it ain't got to be high every day. You are Lord over my life. You are Lord over my body. You are Lord in every sense of the word. You are Lord. And when you claim that, all of a sudden in your spirit, you're going to start to rise. You're going to start to rise. Do you not know that oil does not sink in water? Oil floats on water. Did you know that? Guess what? You were anointed with. You were anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit. You're going to rise above what other people are sinking in. You're going to say to yourself, God is in control. How many of you all, now I know I got to get back to my notes, but how many of you all of a sudden on your worst day, you felt a praise rising up on the inside? Stuff just going wrong, right and left. You said to yourself, it ain't one thing, it's another, but all of a sudden that praise, oh, He woke me up this morning, starting me on my way. All of a sudden, you got a shout in your spirit. You got something deep down on the inside and saying, you know what? This thing ain't over my head. Matter of fact, what I'm going to do, I'm going to walk on. So you're going to have it happen. You're going to have natural things that happen. You're going to have people stuff. People stuff going to happen every day. I don't want nobody talking about me. Guess what? Even if you're in the graveyard, folks still won't be talking about you. You will also have demonic attacks. Because you're in Christ, because you look like you want to serve God, the devil's got a target on you. He wants to come in and disrupt you. Why? Because you're giving God glory. You are honoring God. You're living for God. No, we can't have that. See, he claims that he is the powers of this world. But he don't know like I know. He was in heaven and got kicked out. But thank God I've been invited to heaven and going to be welcome in. Are y'all kidding me? I'm going to enjoy my walk to glory. I ain't going to let stuff give over my head. Look at somebody saying, I'm not going to let it get over my head. Lord, have mercy. I'm about to preach up in here today. Satanic attacks will come at any time. Anytime the devil did not spare Jesus, knew he was the Son of God, knew he could not conquer him, but he attacked him anyway. So here you come. I'm walking on the water. I'm trusting in my God. And the devil said, no, you ain't. He comes to stir up doubt, to put that suspicion in your mind. See, he can't touch you unless God allows it. Before he lays a hand on you, before he even plants a thought in your mind, he has to look up to heaven and say, God, you gonna let me test him? Anytime Job could not get, the devil couldn't get to Job because God put a hedge around him. Here you are in the New Testament. You've been sealed with the Holy Ghost. Come on, can I talk to somebody? He cannot touch you unless he looks up to heaven and says, God, do I have your permission? And the only reason why God will give him permission is that there's something in you that will keep your head. Are y'all listening to me preaching here? That will keep your head above water. Look at somebody and say, I'm keeping my head above water. Now watch this. Even though your body is made up primarily of water itself and would tend to sink, there's a little bit of you that will float. Before I learned to swim, I learned to float first. You can just get on the water and but you got to relax. Some of y'all so tense. When you relax, the water will say, I got to hold you up. Jesus was not threatened by the water. Wind was blowing. The disciples, they were doing everything they could to keep the boat going. Here comes the master of the sea walking on the water. And Peter looks at him. Peter catches his eye. He looks at him and said, Jesus, if that is you, let me get on that water with you. Now, watch this. The devil is listening to you talking. All right? He heard Peter. Now, he couldn't get on the inside. Are you with me? Unless you allow the devil to get on the inside. Because you can't have two kings on the inside of you. You're going to have one king. If you got King Jesus, then you can't have King Satan. That makes sense? Let me hear him preach. This thing getting gooder and gooder. So as soon as Peter gets on the water, for whatever reason, he takes his eyes off Jesus and start looking and listening to the wind. Why are you listening to the howling winds of doubt when you know what they're going to tell you? Why are you listening to doubt telling you, oh, you can't take that job? You don't have the skill set. Let me tell you something. Anytime God gets ready to promote you, he can promote you because you are his. Peter steps out. Next thing you know, down he goes. But in his heart of heart, he knows something. He knows something. He didn't say, oh man, I messed up. Oh man, my life is a wreck. See, what the devil wants you to do after you start sinking, then he wants you to beat up on yourself. So here you go, insulting yourself. Wait a minute. God saved you. God is in your life. Why are you going around talking about, I will never be nobody? You lying on God. You are somebody because he laid his hands on you. Oh, I wish I had somebody to help me up in here today. So the satanic threat can only be conquered when you cry out to the Lord. Short prayer, three words, Lord, save me. And guess what? I don't know how far Jesus was from him, but he reached forth his hand. See, you're not far from the hand of God. That's another sermon for another time. You are not far from the hand of God. You're just a prayer away. When you say that prayer, he'll reach out to wherever you are and he'll bring you up out of the waves. I'm getting ready to close my message, but here's the good part. Here's the good part. The worst threat that you'll ever face in life is not the threat of people. The worst threat that you face in life is not the threat of natural disaster. The worst threat that you will face in life is not even satanic. The worst threat that you'll face is the person you face in the mirror. And a lot of us spend a lot of time blaming other people. Running down, well, they're my problem. No. Something on the inside of you says that no matter what, I can make it if I trust God. Are y'all in the building today? Because the hand of Jesus will reach out and touch you. The hand of Jesus will rescue you from peril. The hand of Jesus will pick you up and turn you around. Anybody know the hand of Jesus? I'm telling you, he touched me and made me whole. Times in my life where I wanted to throw in the towel and say I'm done, but God said, wait a minute, let me lay my hands on you. When God lays his hands on you, everything on the inside of you has got to say, yes, Lord. You belong to him, not to the circumstances of life. You belong to Almighty God. Come on, give him praise in here. Come on, give him praise in here. Come on, shout for glory in here. I'm keeping my head. I'm keeping my head. I'm keeping my head above water. I'm going to learn how to walk on the water. The stuff that wants me down can't keep me down because God picks me up. Shout yes, somebody. Don't allow the doubt threats. I doubt if I can do it. I doubt if it's in my bank account. I doubt if they're going to give me this loan. I doubt. Don't let the doubt talk to you. Because what Jesus said initially is still applying. He said one word. Come. Does he want me in glory with him? Yes. Does he want me to walk like a champion in life? Yes. Why else would he say, come? Yeah, I'm going to have to face some stuff, but guess what? I'm going to walk on that. Some of y'all going to go, you're going to leave here today. You're going to be on cloud now. You're going to say to yourself, man, where that problem at? Where that issue? Because God wants you to be victorious. And yes, life does hurt. I didn't say that you had to walk but not cry. Life will hurt you that way. But when you get, you know how you used to do after you got a whipping by life. And you got back up. Amen? That's what it's all about. You got to trust God. Let me give you a couple of things in closing. So, the things you're going to face before you step out of the boat, natural threats, people threats, satanic threats, threats of doubt within yourself. But let me give you some life jackets. It is now state law that before you get on the water in a boat in this state, you got to have some life jackets on your boat. Oh, I can shout on this one. And guess what? Before Jesus sent you on this walk on the water, he gave you some life jackets. Y'all ready for the life jacket? I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I promise I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Four life jackets that you need. Number one, life jacket number one. Stop looking for comfort and start looking for opportunity. You say, that's not a life jacket. Yes, it is. When you see your trial as an opportunity instead of a situation where you want to be comfortable, you go automatically start walking. The difficulties in your life did not come about because God said, oops. You will never hear that from God. You will hear him say, "This is your opportunity." It's going to take every ounce of strength that you have, because that's where I come in and I give you more strength. When I was CEO down in Halifax at the Community Action Agency, we did this thing called Opportunity Park. And we had the people to come out. If you were in poverty, come to Opportunity Park. You will get employment information. You will get resources that will help you. Mental health resources. Legal. We had lawyers out there. We had companies out there ready to take applications on the spot. We had law enforcement to help people to say, "Hey, if you're in trouble, come to us. We'll help you. We'll help you." Opportunity Park. When you got saved, God already had his Opportunity Park in place. It's called being in Christ. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. You don't have to take the old you into the new life. Oh man, I missed somebody. I'm sorry. Let me put on the signal. Let me come back around. You don't have to keep living the same way. So rather than looking at your struggle and saying, "I'm not comfortable." Of course you're not comfortable. It's different. It's new. It's unique. But it's going to bring something out of your life that God wants to see. He calls it opportunity. People in the Bible, many of them would never have been able to do the things they did if it weren't for a God opportunity. Write that on your refrigerator. I can see it now. Y'all putting a magnet on it. I got a God opportunity. Before David faced the giant, he had to face the lion and the bear. So when the lion attacked, man, I ain't never fought a lion before. But you know what he said to the lion? "Bring it on." And to the bear, "Okay, you think you bad? You ain't met my God yet." Now, where was God? God wasn't standing on the outside. God was in the strength that he had given to David. He said, "Man, I grabbed that bear and I tore him apart. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." It's not you, but it's the God in you that gives you that opportunity. Did y'all learn something today? All right, that's one life jacket. We got that one on now. All it takes is one life jacket to keep you floating, right? But I'm going to give you another one. Here's the second one. Believe that you can accomplish something through God's power. Believe. The voice of doubt said to Peter, "You can't." But Jesus said through his word, "You can." And what Jesus was saying to Peter when he sank, "Oh, you of little faith." God didn't blame. He didn't blame the people. He didn't blame the wind. He said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Here's the point I want you all to get. Some of you all, you give up right when you're about to cross the finish line. Throw in the towel. That's something. You mess up and you struggle through the whole race, but then you get a foot from the goal line. Now, I can't do it. I can't. You got to claim the power of God. Are y'all still in the building? You got to claim that God did not bring me this far to leave me now. I was running with a guy in a marathon. Old man trying to run 26 miles. Lord have mercy. Next time I'm going to drive the car. So we're in the Shamrock Marathon down in Virginia Beach. We're running, and his hamstring had pulled, and he's walking and limping. I'm over there on the sideline trying to take me a nap. I see him limping. I said, "Well, I can keep up with him." So we got out there, and we got to talking. I said, "Man, you know what? We're getting ready to come to this finish line." And even though we didn't win the race, that's not what we're after. We're in this thing to finish this race. And somehow or another, saying those words, we encourage each other. And we were talking all the way to the finish line. Soon as I saw the finish line, I knew he was limping. So I started running. I said, "Brother, I'm going to beat you." What am I saying? Keep your head above water. God didn't put you in this race to lose it. God did not bring you into this life just to say all is hopeless. Repeat after me. Keep my head above water. I close with this. Well, I told you, four life jackets. Okay, I got a third one to tell you. Don't allow people to talk you out of what God talked you into. I ain't got to explain that one. I do not have to explain that. You ought to get that one just from hearing it. Why will you allow people to talk you out of what God talked you into? Choir member, don't let people talk you down out of the choir. You talk somebody into the choir. How about that? Are y'all still here? Because God gave you something. It's called a gift. And God is not a gift, one that what we call a gift taker. He wants it back. But he wants proof of it. When you get to heaven and you have nothing to show except for the fact, well, I got saved. Where is God in your life? That's the question. This is not a spectator sport. Jesus wants you to walk this thing. And you're going to have to endure. Yes, we talked about that in Sunday school. You're going to have to endure with patience this race that is set before you. So don't let other people talk you out of. Well, if I were you, well, you ain't me. Shut up. Put the brakes on. Right. You ain't me. You take care. You stay in your lane. I stay in my lane. And we're going to keep on walking. Are y'all still here? Last point. Don't you love it when folks in traffic get over in your lane? And my wife tell me I'm too aggressive. I get up right behind them. What you going to do? Well, I don't know yet, but... All right, last point. I'm ramming now. So here are the four life jackets. Stop looking for comfort. Start looking for opportunity. Second one, believe that you can accomplish something through God's power. Third one, don't allow people or anything to talk you out of what God talked you into. The last one, please put this on before you leave church today. Never take your focus off Jesus. Never. Never. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. People will do things to you. Life circumstances will do things to you. You say to yourself, well, God must not be real. Wait a minute. No, you haven't got the real God yet. Well, if God were real, why did he allow this? He allowed it so that you would learn that you can't even walk without him holding your hand. You can't make it through life without Jesus being with you. And you know what he said in Matthew 28? Before he left this world, he said, now I'm sending you into all the world. I want you to proclaim my word. I want you to tell them and teach them, baptize them. I want you to bring them into the faith. But then before Jesus closed that short sermon, he said, I'm going to be with you. Look at somebody and said, I'm going to be with you. That's what Jesus told us. So what you got to do is focus on him. Don't look to the left or right. Look to him who's the author and finisher of your faith. When you look to Jesus, he's a rock in a weary land. Are y'all here? When you look to Jesus, he is your rescuer. When you look to Jesus, even if you are swept under the waves, he will resuscitate you and put you right back up there again. I just want the hand of a few folk that God had to raise you up. Life had knocked you down, but then the hand of Jesus touched me. Then the hand of God raised me up. You would still be where you were, but thank God you're on your way because the Lord is in your life. Is the Lord in your life today? Is Jesus real in your heart today? Did he raise you up? Did he turn you around? Did he give you victory? Then lift those hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank God I know him. Thank God I know him. Then you can't claim credit for yourself. That's why you got to say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, Where would I be? Where would I be? If it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me where would I be? What did he do? Did he keep the enemy? He kept my, gave me sunshine. There's one today. I don't know about y'all. I had a good time in church today. I had me a time in church today. I don't know about you. I got my dance on in church. I got my praise on in church because I was going under. But thank the Lord, he lifted me up. If there's one today, you need Christ in your life. Would everybody stand? Everyone stand. Any desire to be a member of the church? We invite you to come. If you're online, contact us, crossroadsbc.com, pastor@crossroadsbc.com. We'll be able to share with you how that you can be united with